It's the return of the curve matching. We all 31st cousins. Well, mind myself with the thirst dozen. Thirst kills, thirst murders universal. Will I be having to tell myself, chill?
That's just my ego talking. Thinks he's superhero, awesome. Big chief, captain, president.
Thanks so much for being on our little podcast. I know it was kind of an out of the blue request, but. That was Open Mike Eagle off his latest album, Dark Comedy, which, if you haven't heard it, it is spectacular. It's poignant, it's funny, it's dark, it has a guest verse by the comedian Hannibal Buress. Absolutely great album, has not left my rotation since it dropped. Mom and I had a really great conversation with Mike about his career, about the new album, and we'll have a listen.
Thanks for the invite, man.
Well, you know, I always like to find people that I can use when I'm working with teens or with parents as role models. And people who have become successful and tell them how that person did it. And Butler and I thought you'd be great for this.
Well, thank you.
And you have your own podcast now, so I thought there would be some goodwill between podcasters.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely invested in the Universal Podcast Network, so let's all be each other's guests all the time.
Awesome.
I like that.
Well, tell us a little bit about how you got your start. Did you get your start in, was it battle rapping or?
You mean you started in music?
Yeah.
I started rapping in high school, in a sense of just like guys freestyling in various places. So when I first began like my journey into hip hop, it was through freestyling, graffiti, and breakdancing, and those were just things that we would do everywhere. And we weren't producing songs per se, but that's how I started, you know, with the craft of rapping.
And, yeah.
Was that in Chicago, Mike? Or
yeah, that was in Chicago. That was on the south side of Chicago.
Yeah.
And then when did you move to L.A.?
I moved to L.A. in 2004.
Okay, so relatively recently.
Yeah, well, 10 years ago.
Yeah. I showed how old I was.
But I went to Southern Illinois University, and that's at the very bottom of the tip of Illinois, about 5 hours south of Chicago. And I did a year of grad school there, too, but I quit in the middle of my grad program and moved out to L.A.
Okay. One of the things that I think is so great about your music, and I know you've mentioned this when you were talking with No Can Do, is your music is very melodic. And I think that's really interesting. Like it's almost, some of it's kind of sung, as it were, some of it's rapped. I mean, where did that come from?
Well, part of it is that I'm influenced by a lot of indie and alternative rock stuff that I've grown up listening to. It's always been very important to me. Another part of it is that I've often listened to rappers who were unafraid to kind of be melodic in their deliveries too. So I never, if I ever had the inclination to do it, you know, which I do obviously occasionally, I never felt any reluctance or any hesitation to do it and try it and see what kind of different melodies I could get out of a song.
I like that you're willing to take a risk for what you think will work or what's good. But, you know, that's one thing I was going to ask you. I'm so proud of your success, and
if you
were giving advice to young people about what character traits they need to be successful in anything they choose to do, what would be some of the character traits that you think are important?
Well, in my field, and I'm not certain how how much this exactly translates into other things, but I have a feeling it probably might. In my field, it's very important that you can finish things. That you can be productive, not in just in the sense of creation, but in the sense of creating and then executing and having it be a done thing, whether it's a finished song, a finished project, you know, anything. Like, I'm doing podcasts now, so it's important that I consistently finish episodes. And I think part of the reason that on the business end, people are willing to kind of partner with me and invest in me kind of as a brand is because they're comfortable having the faith that I'll finish products.
Oh, I think that is so important and such a good lesson.
Yeah, I think that's really universal too, especially in creative fields. I'm a graphic designer. And I mean, a lot of times you have to just see it through knowing that, you know, your design might not get chosen. It's going to end up on the cutting room floor.
So is that kind of like resilience, like, and a follow through? How would I explain that to a teenager?
I think follow through. I think follow through is a great phrase for it.
Okay.
Follow through is a great phrase. I just, one thing I've seen, especially living in Los Angeles, there are just an unending line of talented people. They're talented in a lot of ways, but what the thing that separates people is being able to execute.
Huh.
And you can step up and have a plan and finish it, even if it doesn't necessarily go as planned, just having at the end of the day saying, I set out to do this, and whether or not there was any incentive to or not, just having the fortitude to finish it and follow through, like you said.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I think that's super important, and just that willingness to put yourself out there, I think is also...
Oh, yeah. Do you have children, Mike?
I have one child, yes.
What? Hey, if your child says, hey, man, I'm not into music, I want to play lacrosse or soccer or football, what would your reaction be to that?
I would prefer he not play football. I'm pretty into, it's just like all of the reports and the research coming out is, how a lot of these guys get brain injuries.
The concussions. Yeah.
Right. But even on the high school level. So, when you got players that, many of them on the high school level, they'll never have a shot at even being professional, but they're still sustaining those same level of injuries. And so, that's one thing I would prefer him not to do. But if he really wanted to, there's certainly no way I'd stand in the way of it.
Yeah.
Were you encouraged to pursue music, and did you come from a musical family or?
Kind of. My mother sings in church. My dad sings, as a hobby. But I guess not. Neither. And my father was in a singing group actually when he was younger too, but never actually made any kind of serious attempts to doing it. I think I've always been surrounded by music. My parents have both indoctrinated me in being exposed to different kinds of music as I was growing up. So I think.
And I think parents do influence. Yeah, my husband, Jim Butler's father's an architect, and he's a graphic designer, and then me, psychology, and our daughter's a social worker. So it is funny how, kids kind of, they do pick up, and maybe we do emphasize that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, that choice of field is going to kind of dictate your value system in a sense, and so, that's going to be probably in the household or in the environment, whether it's on purpose or not,
Yeah. Your new album, Dark Comedy, which is fantastic, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to it.
Oh, I love it. And one of the things that's intriguing to me about it is you've embraced the concept of an album, and it kind of, when everyone kind of thought singles were going to be the big thing, you've actually really taken that kind of long play album format and almost built a narrative out of it. Was that the intent from the get-go, or did it just kind of come together that way?
I that's my fourth album, and I think just in the way that I've always consumed music or been exposed to music, it's kind of been an album format. So when I do create, I do start thinking of how things kind of fit together as an overall statement. So, yeah, I guess that's on purpose. I guess that's on purpose. But at the same time, I also, like I said, this being my fourth album, I've, like, learned that the songs have to kind of be able to stand on their own as well. Like, I can create it as a statement, but I have to be aware of the fact that it is an iPod shuffle culture now.
Right.
So that everybody's not always hearing the songs that way, so I have to just kind of keep in mind that I need everything to be able to stand strong on its own as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really fantastic, and you've done some really great collaboration along the way with, like, Bus Driver and Milo, and I think that's been really cool to see you guys as a collective doing well together, and how much do you influence each other and or push each other and so on and so forth?
I'd say quite a bit. I think it's kind of interesting because we're very similar. I think a lot have similar influences and similar aims, but a lot of us have different types of execution, and it's very interesting what happens when we all get together and try to create, and where we see where we are similar, and we see where we're different, and it's always a huge learning experience for me every time, and the synergy that I think is created when we put our different styles together is massive for me. Like, in terms of, you know, songs that I enjoy, I really do like when we come together and make stuff, you know, have all these different voices, you know, with one kind of aim, but different ways of going about getting there.
And you all have albums kind of coming out at the same time. Like, your album just came out, Bus Driver has an album coming out, Milo has an album coming out. Does all that creative energy kind of get bottled up together and kind of feed your various kind of fires to kind of go out and make stuff along the same timelines, or?
Well,
or is that just coincidence?
That's interesting, because I think all of us, if you kind of go back to what we were saying earlier about the thing that I think separates people and starts to kind of build some success, is that we're all productive people. We had all started albums, we were all going to finish albums, so whether we were working together or not, you know, like, we were all kind of on that cycle, and I think all of us are in various states of creation all the time, so
right.
It's been good that we've been getting together and kind of amassing this kind of creative energy, and also scheduling things in a way where we kind of get out of each other's way. It's kind of cool too, and it looks, you know, so for purposes of the narrative of us as a collective, you know, it's like, okay, well, now you got this out, and then a couple months later you got this out,
yeah,
and then we're all going to come together again, you know, like, it's kind of a cool thing for the people who get down with us to kind of have these incremental releases.
It really is, and as a fan, it was pretty rad. I know in your album, you name-check Milo, and then his single came out for his album, and I was on that listening to it, like, oh my god, this is fantastic, and, you know, so it built a lot of buzz for me to wait for that to come out, and it's, I don't know, it's really interesting how that all kind of works.
Yeah, no, you know, Bus Driver's record and Milo's record are both really incredible, and I just can't wait for everybody to get the whole picture of what 2014 has been for all of us. You know, No Can Do's album came out first.
Yeah.
That was in March. And then, so, like, those are, like, our statement records as solo artists. And we're going to come together again. We're actually finishing a mixtape right now, too.
Oh, nice.
It's going to come early next year.
And so, go ahead, Mom.
Hey, Mike, what would you want people to know about you as a person that's been overlooked or never brought up before?
Oh, that's a very good question.
Mom had to go deep.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like between musical output, social media output, and now, you know, the podcast too, I feel like I'm almost too much information about me.
That could be true. Well, when you were talking, I just kept thinking, he's such an open person and a deep person that it seems like you let people see into who you are because you're not afraid of who you are.
Yeah,
and I love that
not.
Characteristic
absolutely.
About, I love that about you.
You know, it's one thing that I've, you know, that I've learned. I mean, my, like, that kind of, that openness or that, the way I usually put it to myself is that, like, I kind of bet on myself, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I put, you know, like, every one of my releases or everything that I put out there is kind of less like putting all of my chips on my own aesthetic. So it helps me to be open and honest and talk about it, because all of that context helps people to understand what I'm doing. You know?
But how admirable.
Yeah. Really interesting.
It works, you know, so it's a little selfish too. it certainly works. It helps, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's definitely paid off. And this being your fourth album, I mean, is it... I feel like in a culture that's always kind of consumed about what's, like, the latest, newest, and greatest artist or whatever, I think that it's been interesting in music in general to see artists actually hitting their stride later and sort of these, like, little upstarts maybe kind of fizzle out. How do you see the benefit of experience kind of helping you in your craft?
Well, I think... What's happening right now, the music industry has changed a lot, and the biggest change is that people are buying less and less records.
Right.
And that means that the economy of music has shrunk down a lot. And that means that more and more, the people who are in it and doing it aren't necessarily doing it to be wealthy or, you know, make a lot of money. And they're doing it because they genuinely have something to say, some statement they're trying to make, and some process that they're trying to perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, how it is for me and how it is for a lot of people I get down with. It's like we're all, you know, we constantly feel like we all have something to say. We feel like we're never done saying it. We feel like we're never quite perfected the process of saying it the best way that it can be said, or putting it with the best music, or producing it in the best way. And so in that sense, you know, we take the long view, and I've sometimes doubted whether or not that was going to pay off. Because the culture is very, it does move quickly from artist to artist. But I think consumers are starting to turn around a little bit, especially in this indie rap thing, where they're starting to appreciate the artist that takes a long view, and that it's going to be a long road for some people.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked to, I don't know if you're familiar with the rapper Astronautilus, but...
Yeah, that's my buddy. Andy's my buddy.
Okay, so Andy...
He's a cool guy.
So
great. He's fantastic.
Yeah, Andy's a friend of mine, and I knew him in Dallas when he was at SMU and he was getting started. And it was... We actually did a podcast with him back in the day, and it was really interesting about how... I mean, his whole goal was not to live in a giant mansion. It was just to make this his only line of work. You know, he didn't have to have tons of cars or whatever. Just, I just want this to be my job. I want this to be my full-time job. That's it. And I think that's such an admirable sort of, I guess, goal that you can, of course, build on. But just to shoot for that was...
Yeah.
But yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, just, you know, there's still a lot of money made in music. I mean, not as much as it used to be, but there's still a lot made. And I think there's enough in it that if somebody's willing to be dedicated to producing and to increasing their capacity with the other parts of the business that are necessary to have a successful music career, then there's enough there for you to make a living for sure.
Yeah. But that's really cool. I'm glad you know Astronautilus. I'm so happy for his success too. So, well, cool. Well, man, just, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to some random people out of the blue.
Enjoyed it. Hey, Mike, you are my new best friend.
That's awesome. That's incredible.
Thanks so much to Open Mike Eagle for being on our podcast. His new album, Dark Comedy, is available now. Download it immediately. Go to MikeEagle.net for tour information and more. Download Mike's own podcast called Secret Skin, which is available at infiniteguest.org. It's also fantastic, and thanks again.
Writing on the floor of a Chinese restaurant, crown on my hip like Simon Petrikoff. Thought of a song called Thinking of Master Plans. Rigging in Rakim, drinking in Amsterdam. Cafe back room, meeting with Cancer Man. Engineering project, black astronaut. The first scene in the film Prometheus. I wrote a brand new story that starts from there. Just need some help with the financing.
I ain't got nobody to pitch it to.
My friends are superheroes. None of us have very much money though. They can fly, run fast, read Portuguese. None of us have very much money though. They know judo and yoga, photography, politics. Some of them leap over buildings. Writers, magicians, comedians, astronauts. None of it matters when niggas was hungry. My friends are superheroes. None of us have very much money though. They wear the same underwear as billionaires. None of us have very